Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball U, the nation's youth baseball network. Brought to you by Lineup Media Group. Now, your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball U, the nation's youth baseball network. I am your host, Jim Cromer, and I'm happy to bring you part two of our wonderful interview with Earl Perrin, John Smoltz, and Chris Verna with Perfect Pitch and Throw and their wonderful new product, the Rope Trainer. It is a tremendous product and with a tremendous vision, and they also they've taken into account a lot of things, as you heard in part one of our interview with Earl Perrin, exactly what they were trying to do. And of course, today I'm so pleased to bring you the Hall of Famer John Smoltz, as he is deeply involved in this product, and to the point where, you know, like he's going to tell you, he put his name on it, so he believes in it and he thinks it can help. And I would say, judging by how he has approached his crusade, so to speak, against the arm injuries that are plaguing not only Major League Baseball but our youth, I think it's time to stand up and listen to what the man has to say. But before we get to that, let us tell you a little bit about ourselves. We are Youth Baseball Talk, and you can learn all kinds of stuff about us at youthbaseballtalk.com. We love to communicate through Twitter and, you know, share things, and we love to see the things that you guys are doing out there. At Podcast Baseball is our handle there. Facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk is a great way to communicate with us through Facebook. I love it because all the pictures and things you can share on there, a lot of videos, things like that. Jim@youthbaseballtalk.com is my email. I love the correspondence. Please feel free to share anything with me that you feel might be a great topic, a great story. I've been getting connected with a lot of people that way, and it is awesome. The best way to support the show, just subscribe. That helps us a lot. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet and just click the subscribe button. It is free. And, of course, we love reviews and ratings. If you feel like we're worthy, a 5-star would go a long way in helping us keep the show's rating right where it belongs. We are a part of the Lineup Media Group, and I'm a big fan of some of the other shows we have on here. And I told you a little bit last week about the Inside Pitch from Pete Caliendo. He does a great job, and I'm happy to have him as part of this network. I'll tell you a little bit about another show today, another sports show that I really enjoy. And even though it's off season, I think you guys should check it out, especially with the. I'll give you a little snippet with the NFL draft coming up here in a couple of months. You guys ought to be checking this show out. Sharing a show with friends, especially when it comes to this baseball community, is the way we grow it. So please share it around and let people know who we are. And if you do want to give the show some real love, the next time you're going to buy something on Amazon, before you do it, just go to our website, youthbaseballtalk.com. Click the Amazon banner. It's about middle all the way down on the right. It doesn't cost you anything, but we will get credit for the referral, and it does keep us active on the air. So we appreciate the people at Amazon and their support of the show. It goes a long way. So, listened back and enjoyed learning about Perfect Pitch and Throw and their new product, the Rope Trainer, and the vision. And again, as I mentioned in part one, I met Earl in Nashville. He was a tremendous individual, very passionate about what he was doing. And you could tell just by meeting him what a just awesome human being he was. I joked around with him a little bit, and I'm sure he's okay with it, but, you know, John and Chris, who you're going to hear from here in a second, gave a passionate speech in front of somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 coaches in the room, about health, about the body's connection, how all of it's intertwined, and how sometimes you got to do some stuff with the legs to release the, it was all stuff way over my head, but I'm learning just like everybody else, right? And then they start talking about the Rope Trainer, and you could see the pride in him. It was almost like, somebody up there talking about your son or your daughter. Like, that father's look on his face. And they give this presentation, and I mean to tell you, I was with Earl afterwards when he invited me to the Legends dinner, and they called up and told him they had sold out in 15 minutes. And this guy, and there was a little tear in his eye, and rightfully so. Of course, it's a business, but he is passionate, and he does care. And it was developed for his own kids. And then they realized they had something here. Chris Verna, who you're going to hear from, is one of the top guys in the country at keeping and getting people healthy. And, you know, I'm talking some of the biggest names in sports. Obviously, John Smoltz is one of his guys. And we all know the career that John had and what he had to endure to have that career. So for me to hear from both of these guys, it really does, you know, culminate with getting it from the horse's mouth. So I was very fortunate to catch up with both of them. And, of course, it was an exciting moment for me as John Smoltz was an unbelievable pitcher in the major leagues. You know, he did some fascinating things. It's one thing to be a dominant starter. It's another thing to say, yeah, I'll go ahead and close games for you and then go ahead and do it at an extraordinarily high level and then say, you know what, I want to play a little more. And then he winds up in our hometown here in St. Louis playing for my beloved Cardinals, which was just a highlight in itself. And then obviously I got to meet him down there, and he was a tremendous individual. But he is, make no mistake about it, he is passionate about this arm problem, and he has an opinion, and he is going to let people hear about it. And I, for one, applaud him for that because, you know, again, he could have just said, you know what, I've done enough. I don't have time for this. I don't need the headache that comes with it. But that's not what he's doing here. So I'm real excited for you guys to hear this. I'm going to let you listen in now. This is Hall of Fame, legendary pitching. I don't want to call him a guru now because I would say he's a Hall of Fame pitcher for sure. And now he has taken his Hall of Fame status and decided to help with this arm epidemic. So here's John Smoltz and tell you a little bit about the perfect pitch and throw rope trainer. And now for a highlight for sure for me and for all of our listeners out there, I want to talk a little bit about perfect pitch and throw with a gentleman that needs no introduction and has become so passionate about arm care, especially when it comes to kids. So I have the opportunity now to speak with Hall of Fame pitcher John Smoltz and talk to him just a little bit about perfect pitch and throw and the rope. So, John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I happened to catch you in Nashville at the ABCA convention, and you and your good friend Chris, who I know you're very close to and has played a big role in your able to pitch at the level you did. I watched you guys speak up on stage, and then I also had the opportunity to watch you speak at the dinner after that, where we talked a little bit about, obviously, you had the great recognition of going into the Hall of Fame. Your speech for the Hall of Fame, actually, you took the time of probably the most, one of the greatest moments of your life to address the fact that we do have an arm issue in this country, especially with kids. Will you want to elaborate just a little bit on that and why you felt like it was necessary?
Well, there's so much evidence out there that nobody's really paying attention because they think that this is just, like putting a Band-Aid on a scratch. This is an epidemic of which we have to find a way to slow it down because pitching is the heart of baseball, and certainly a lot of great arms and kids wanting to pitch well into their 30s and hopefully beyond if they're going to be a Major League Baseball player. They're utilizing their youth experience and burning out and giving themselves greater risk for injury by the fact of this generation we live in. And so I thought it was important enough to give the parents hope and give them the confidence they don't have to get into every one of these organizations and get in this catch-up type philosophy where they've got to enroll their child in every kind of perfect game or showcase games or you name it. So Unfortunately, the byproduct of pitching is what it is. It's not a natural movement. It's not something that the good Lord created for us to do without the risk of tremendous injuries, and we're incurring them at a rate that's just too great.
Well, and watching you at the convention with your friend Chris Verna and the things that he was able to do up on stage as a layman baseball guy, I'm just a youth coach, I'm a dad, right? I'm out there searching like all these parents. I was amazed at the way he was able to relate the body and the movements of all the different parts of the body and how it affects the arm. For you in your career, when did that kind of take shape for you when you were like, there's a big relationship here?
Yeah, early part of my career, I was very loose jointed. My biomechanics and my genetics give me the ability to throw a baseball at a firm rate that most weren't able to do because if you looked at me when I was in high school, it wouldn't make sense. But my flexibility became a little bit of a curse. So opposites, meaning your opposite hip, affects your right shoulder, your left hip, and vice versa. And if you're out of line in your base and your ability to throw a baseball and the stress starts going to your elbow and shoulder, that's where you're going to experience the soreness and injury. So if you can get the base and legs and hips and everything aligned, your ability to throw a baseball will be much better if your mechanics are good. So as athletic as I was and the ability to adjust and accommodate whatever I needed to, you can get away with that when you're younger. And you can, you know, basically give false pretenses to what really is going on in your body. So Chris was able to show and tell me that the flexibility that I had in certain areas wasn't as advantageous as I thought, and I was inflexible in some of the areas where he improved that. So it's really unique, because just because you can stretch or you can flex your arm in certain positions, it doesn't always mean that that's going to correlate to, you know, 95 mile an hour fastball if you don't put them all together.
Well, you know, as you mentioned that it's not a natural movement. And, you know, there's all types of things going on out there now. Everybody's coming up with this and that. So I meet your friend Earl Perrin, who developed the rope, and I have a conversation with him, and he kind of explains to me, you know, the purpose behind it and kind of how it's working. And then he lets me know that you're going to do this show. So I see you guys up on stage, and I'm real impressed. And I see this product, and you know, I'm watching you use it, and it makes so much sense that it almost seems like a no-brainer. I mean, how does this product help, whether it be a kid, a high school kid, a pro, irrelevant? What is, in your opinion, like, what are some of the big points that this product can help us all with?
Well, everyone wants to throw harder, and that being said, you know, I'm not an advocate of just trying to throw as hard as you can just to throw harder. But throwing a baseball year-round is not natural. It's not good. So we needed to find ways to exercise your mechanics and throw something that would simulate the ability of throwing a baseball without letting go. And there's a lot of products out there. This replaces what we called back in the day the towel drill, where you put a towel between your fingers and you try to snap that towel, which allowed your arm to actually fire without decelerating. And throwing something without a baseball is not as great as it is unless you've got some kind of torque or you've got some weight behind it. And this rope philosophy allows you to fire the baseball without letting go, and the stress is less, and it warms up your arm and shoulder in a way that you don't have to throw as much to get loose. So if I'd have had this back in the day, it would have cut down on so many more throws to get loose for a game. And it's a quicker, easier way to just get your arm and hand in the right position and feel your shoulder working so that you can accelerate without letting go of a baseball. And I'm telling you, I think it's going to improve the health of the young player, because the weight distribution with the ropes has three options. So a little league kid can throw or utilize this without letting go of a baseball and not run the risk of, you know, incurring 1,000 more throws in an offseason or in a scenario where he's trying to work on his mechanics. Dry drills or mirror drills are huge and great byproduct. See, and that's what I've been trying to tell kids. You don't always have to throw a baseball in a stress situation in a game type form. You need to utilize the mirror and the drills that are out there so you can practice getting your leg and hand and arm in the right position so that over time you have a better chance of staying healthy. So the rope really has so many different functions from a standpoint of your arm is lighter, your shoulder feels stronger because you're exercising your arm without the tension of a baseball being released. When you release a baseball, something has to bear that tension and that force, if you will. And this is now, I don't know the right word, if it's stagnant or if you're able to, you go through your delivery without the body bearing all the force of the letting go of a baseball. Because that over time, you know, kids don't play catch enough. They don't play catch properly enough. They just, they basically, I call it tack in the car, the tachometer, they're redlining at an early age because everything they do is a game. And they're doing it at a force and a level that's way too early and way too much velocity. And this will teach them the ability to do less of that while exercising their arm and teaching good mechanics.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that. I actually had the opportunity to interview a good friend of yours, obviously, and a mentor, so to speak, in Leo Mazzoni. And everybody's aware that he was one of the first guys that came out and said, you know, I think the real issue is that they're not throwing enough. So he had a program that he's famous for, and you guys threw more between starts, but you threw more efficiently. So to hear you talk about this, you said a key word for me and for all of the parents and coaches that are out there that gets thrown around a lot. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds to me like you're kind of on board, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like the stress throws is really where the issues – like too many stress throws is where the issues lie. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, that's why pitchers say that 75 pitches for a certain age or 100 pitches, it's not universal. You can't fit everybody in the same box. The stress that it takes to throw a baseball in a game situation for a little leaguer or even a high schooler is so much different than pickup baseball. Kids do not play pickup baseball enough. They don't go out and just exercise the arm properly. So throwing more is not the problem. Throwing more with stress and game situations is the problem. You tack that body and that arm enough in year-round baseball, it's not a good scenario for a youngster as he develops and gets to an older age. The ligaments do not handle the high velocity. So yes, bad mechanics and genetics may cause some injuries, that anything anybody does the right way, they may find themselves in the same issues. There's not much they can do for that. But when you have a young man who can throw a baseball and he can do it well, the one thing that you lose is that the competitive edge that he's got to get out there and get guys out. What does he want to do? He wants to do it every chance he can. And who can blame him? So if he's pitching for three teams and each team, A, B, and C, is monitoring his innings, by the end of the day, you look at the other two coaches don't know what he's doing. And so there's a really bad philosophy out there of where guys are either playing too long or they take time off, too much time off, and then they go play in the showcase game and fire the gun real quickly without being prepared to do that. So we are running the risk of injuries that will show up later in these young men's career in college, in high school, and in the big leagues. So they're setting that foundation at a risk rate that's too high because the velocity that's coming out and the training that they are learning is so, in my opinion, wrong that they are training to see how far and how fast they can throw a baseball, and in some cases, how far they can throw a baseball.
Well, it's interesting how things come full circle, because when I saw you guys on stage and I talked to Earl, it was, and you brought it up earlier, the towel drill, and I as a parent and as a coach, I'm sitting there going, okay, this is great. But if that's the case, then why don't I just do the towel drill? And then, I mean, it was like clockwork. You up on stage in front of 7,000 people gave us the answer to that. Why don't you tell us what the main difference between using this item and the towel drill is?
Yeah, two things. Anytime you do whatever work it is, the more you can get in your environment, the better, right? The more you can get off the mound, it's that's our office for pitchers, the better. I don't like flat ground work. Just like I talked about the towel, it's not natural. You put the towel in between your fingers. You got to hold it differently. It doesn't react or feel like a baseball, obviously. And all you're doing is trying to create that tension so you don't have to throw a baseball. Now you have an actual baseball with the outlets of this rope that doesn't interfere at all with the ability to throw. And it creates that same tension and whip. When you throw a baseball to have power and to feel good, when you're behind the baseball, there's a natural whip. Your arm should whip, your body should bear the responsibility of all the force. Problem is, a lot of young kids don't use their body, and they use nothing but their arm, and the arm bears the responsibility. So what this teaches you is the proper firing mechanism, obviously working with your lower half, but this allows you, as holding onto a baseball, the more natural form of what you're going to do. And I'm telling you, I wish I had this. This would have been phenomenal for me, especially coming out of the pen, getting loose quicker, getting my body fired up in a way that without feeling the stress of throwing a baseball. I'm just a big believer, the more you can get off the mound with the less exertion so that you're not firing all the time, the better you're going to be. Kids don't learn how to pitch today. They learn how to throw. They learn how to max effort everything, and that's all they know. And that's the new generation we're dealing with.
You know, hearing you say that you wish you'd have had this, I mean, I picture what I see now as I travel with my kids all over playing baseball. You know, now what we see, and we've seen it in the explosion of it the last few years, is people try to find what's right. And at least people are talking about it, right? So that's the good part. You go to any youth baseball game and you see these bands attached to fences, and kids are doing band work before they throw. So at least they're doing something. Do you envision a time where here in the near future where all over ballparks, all over the country, we're going to see kids warming up with the rope?
I hope so. I think it's a great tool. I wouldn't be endorsing it if I didn't think so. From the philosophy standpoint, you know, the bands can be misleading. I'm not a big band guy unless you're rehabbing something. The bands teach a different firing mechanism that is opposite of throwing a baseball. The bands are retraining the different fibers and muscles to get back what was once lost, and that's why it's a rehab tool. I'm not totally against them, but you're seeing kids try any way they can to utilize that tension to create stretching and flexibility and getting loose. The problem with it is the band has an inconsistency to it. Over time, you obviously got to change bands and get thickness. And the one thing that I don't like about the bands, as I told you, it just actually enacts other parts of the body that's not natural to throwing. What the rope does is it's all natural. It's one fluid motion. You get your hand up, you get it in position to throw, and then you actually fire the ball as if you were going to let go. That is more natural. I think you will see more people learn and love it. That's the big leaguers are going to love it. Anyone who's been in my era and now the era that exists today, they only know what was available to them at the time. Now we have more technology and we have more understanding of how this works, and that's why I'm involved, because it is absolutely something I might even still be pitching. How you never know. I'm 49. If I would have, it would be 49 in May. If I had this, I might still be pitching.
Well, we're in St. Louis, and when you signed here, I couldn't have been happier. And you were, you know, you obviously did a great job for our Cardinals, but and obviously you'll be known as a Brave. And I know you had another stop in your career, but you're a great ambassador for the game. I got to tell you, it'd be a complete other show. But the speech you gave at that luncheon when they gave you the award that you received, you're a total class act. You're a great talker. You know, you keep it light and fun. But I will tell you that my hope is that, you know, if this thing is what you guys say it is, and I have no reason not to believe it is because I've seen it with my own eyes and actually holding it, you can feel exactly what you're talking about. So to your point, the best thing that could ever happen, and I hope happens for us as parents and us as youth coaches, is I would love to see some guys in the pros using this in the bullpen, because all it would take would be one camera on these guys, and the next thing you know, parents and coaches would be believing in it, and then, you know, Katie bar the door, maybe we'd finally do something right, and that would be okay by me. So thank you very much as a parent and a coach, and you know, we look forward to learning more about the rope.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No problem. That was John Smoltz, a Hall of Fame pitcher with the from the Atlanta Braves, and a couple other short stints with my Cardinals here, and obviously a great career. But to hear a guy that is, you know, like I said at the beginning of the interview with John, you know, he took what possibly is one of the greatest accomplishments of his life in that moment, and decided, you know what, I'm going to address something that's important to me, and that, you know, it's going to take somebody like him to say something. And thank goodness, you know, that guys like John Smoltz, and there's other guys that are stepping up and speaking. So, you know, for me as a coach and myself as a father, for a guy like that to take the time, it tells me that the fact that we're worried and the fact that we're actively out here trying to find the answers, it tells me we're doing the right thing. So we can't thank John enough. I really hope you enjoyed that interview with John Smoltz as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. And I really do hope you listen to the man intently talk about his thoughts and his opinions. And let's face it, I used the word crusade, and that's how I feel, like the man's on a crusade. I mean, I go back to this and I can't get away from it. I mean, he took time out of one of the most important moments of his life to address what he feels is a real issue. So I, for one, applaud him, and I also can say that I'm going to look into what the man's involved in and what he's doing, and see if there's a way to help me, because we got to figure it out, right? There's got to be something to all this madness, and everybody's got an opinion, and, you know, people want to say it's this or that. I don't know if it's any one thing in particular. Tim McCarver, who, you know, I kind of enjoy actually listening to. I know some people will say, you know, he states the obvious all the times. Well, he had one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard about this arm problem. Somebody during one of the broadcasts was talking about pitch count. He said, pitch count? I don't want to hear about pitch counts anymore. Everybody's worried about pitch counts, and we got the biggest problem we've ever had. So it can't just be pitch count. Now, not saying that pitch count isn't part of it, but there's more to this. And he's right. There is more to it. What it is exactly, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys that'll say it's science. A lot of guys will tell you it's this and that. I think a lot of it is just, you know, we got more kids pushing to the limits, and let's face it, great athletes are going to push it to the limit. That's how they become great. But the guys that hold it together and understand the body, you know, they're a big part of trying to come up with solutions to this problem. And The guy that kept John together was Chris Verna, and you've heard me mention him throughout both part one and today. You know, this guy has worked with some of the top athletes in the country, especially guys that have had a little bit of an issue with some physical ailments, and he's done an awesome job of finding a way to keep these guys together and play at these high levels. So knowing that he was involved in this as well, I actually, you know, had the opportunity to speak with him as well, and I hope you enjoy and listen to what he has to say. So let's hear from Chris Verna right now. I'm here now with Chris Verna from the Chris Verna Training Center, and kind of like John Smoltz, I met Chris when I was down at the ABCA convention in Nashville through my friend Earl Perrin, and as a result of his new product, The Rope, brought to you by Perfect Pitch and Throw. And, you know, Chris was on stage with John Smoltz, and some of the things that he was doing with him as just a parent and as a coach, I was just blown away by the relationship between the body. Chris, you know, with you and John talking about The Rope and amongst other things, the way the body moves, what relation does The Rope have in conjunction with what you do and how you get parts of the body kind of firing to kind of loosen it up? How does it all kind of work for you?
Well, for the small muscles of your hand and forearm, it actually activates them as close as it would be to you throwing the actual ball. You know, with the towel drill, when you pinch your fingers, you don't use the palm of your hand, you use the top of your hand and the top of your forearm, which are both wrong for when you're throwing. You want to use the palm of your hand and your forearm, the bottom part of your forearm, to throw the ball. So when you grip the rope, you're gripping the ball that has no weight to it. It's just the same weight as the regular ball. The difference is you have the ropes coming off of it that create drag on it, that create the resistance. When you're going through your motion, you're creating that resistance. You're now able to transfer your big muscles to help you through the whole throwing motion. So as the ball's coming through, your body has to work correctly to pull it through. What I find with a lot of guys with elbow problems is they're pushing their elbow through to try to get them to throw harder, or they're under the ball and they're not pulling with their body, they're pushing with their arm. So when you use the rope correctly, you actually have to pull your body and then release correctly with your arm, whereas if you're using the towel or using something else, you're not able to get your body, the big muscles of your body, to pull you through. And consequently, if you're not pulling your body through, then you're going to affect your elbow or shoulder or something that you don't want to have.
Now, when talking to John about this, he had brought up the stress throws and how this alleviates, when you're warming up, the actual stress portion. How is it that this alleviates, you know, if you want to go into a little bit, how it kind of, you know, takes that problem away?
Well, that's the thing. When you're pushing the ball, you're loading your elbow and your shoulder. When you're pulling, you're loading your body. And now there's two things. There's the body pulling through, and then there's the deceleration phase. And it's where the deceleration phase that takes place where a lot of the injuries take place. In other words, that's where the fatigue of the muscle comes in. So when you're warming up with the rope, you're pulling with your body, but you're also teaching your body how to absorb all the shock or all the force that you're actually using with your arm. So now your arm isn't loaded with all the force. It's dissipated throughout your body as you follow through.
Can you see this product being for both for training and for getting warmed up? I mean, is that
question.
What I'm getting out of this is it's not only just a product to get loose with. It seems like it's also a training tool.
Oh, well, okay, you got a couple things, a couple ways of training. One is you start to train kids that are in T-ball, you know, that young. Teach them the correct way to use their body to throw. You're talking about eliminating a lot of the problems. And I did teach T-ball up through, you know, high school kids, and it's amazing. If you start with them really young, it's easy when they get older to make any small changes you need to make. But if they get it wrong early, it makes a big problem later on to try to get them to adjust. So training them early, and we don't have good products to train kids early, and this product is perfect to train a young kid in. Second training is rehab training. I mean, we got guys that got hurt, but they don't know how to do it correctly in order to prevent the injury from happening again. So we didn't have an aid that really helps, allows them to, in any setting, any rehab setting, because you're not throwing the ball, you can do it anywhere. and it allows you to use the correct muscles. And it also teaches you, from a rehab standpoint, when you're actually ready to throw the ball. You know, that's a big problem in our industry is like, well, when do they actually know when they can throw? Well, we'll start throwing 60 feet. Well, I can throw dart 60 feet and not use my body. So this allows you to use your whole body and know exactly where you are in your rehab and know exactly when you're ready to throw. I find that you no longer have to throw 60 feet. If you can do the rope, you can start 90 to 120 feet because your body's already loose, already in sync. A lot of the rehab problems, you can't get your body in sync. So you can teach the kids young to do it right. And if they don't get it right when they're young, when they get older and they get hurt, now you can have something to retrain them so they don't get hurt again. So that's the big part about the training part that I see. Now, the warm-up part is unbelievable. You warm up in the bullpen. So if you're a relief pitcher, you can warm up in the bullpen and be ready to go with four or five pitches and be on the mound. So if you got a quick call-up, you're ready to go even faster than you have been before. If you're a starting pitcher, you don't have to throw it. I mean, nobody really counts the number of warm-up pitches a starter throws and how many pitches in between innings they have to throw to stay loose. So if you can do the rope beforehand and get loose and not have to throw as many warm-up pitches, over time, you're decreasing the number of throws you have to throw. So now you got the starters that can loosen up and quicker and not throw as many pitches. You got relievers that can do the same thing. And then if you're in a game, I see this so many times, when you're in a long inning where you're a starting pitcher, you're a pitcher that's in the game, and you're sitting in a dugout, and your team is scoring 4, 5, 6 runs, and the inning is going longer than usual, as soon as you get through, like, say, 8 minutes or something, or 10 minutes, and it's too long, you can grab the rope, go through three to five, maybe seven of the throws, keep yourself loose, so that when you come back on the mound, you can throw up a zero and not throw up other runs because you've been waiting so long in between innings. And that's something that doesn't really go, that goes very unnoticed. But when I was a minor league trainer, we always talked about, look, you got to throw that zero up after you score runs. And one of the reasons why I think they weren't was because the pitcher was getting cool and it was too long and getting out of sync. This keeps him in sync all the time without stressing his body.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a game-changing product to me. The big thing for me that both you now and John mentioned earlier, it's the ability to warm up. It's the ability to throw properly without the stress part of the throw, which I think as we learn more and more about it, and let's face it, you know more about how the body works than the average Joe for sure, right? So, you know, how do we get the body moving perfectly?
And that's one of the things we want to do. We want to use the rope to help teach the father that's a coach, you know, the father that doesn't been trained, how to properly, you know, work with their kids in the throwing motion. And it's not just the pitchers. You know, you have third basemen that throw hard. You got catchers that throw a lot. You got outfielders and all. You know, the last 10, 15 years, it seems like infielders are starting to get problems with their arms when they never had that before. So it really helps teach the person who has not been taught properly how to actually use their arm correctly.
Well, I know this. I appreciate very much what you guys are doing. I think it's a great product. I've been fortunate enough to actually hold it, see it in person. Like I said, I thought you and John's presentation at the ABCA was just absolutely amazing. And it opened my eyes a lot to what, as a youth coach and as a father of a kid that wants to throw a baseball, something that I can do to both help him and protect him to some degree. But, you know, for me, it's a great product. I appreciate guys like yourself and what you're trying to do out there, especially for the kids. And obviously your business is in pro athletes. So, you know, you're in the business of getting them on the field. And it sounds like this product's going to work for everybody. So,
really, and the thing is, you know, when John and I first saw it, we took it and we looked at it and we tried to expand it because I really wanted it to be able to go to different levels. I couldn't get the pro guy to like it because it didn't have enough resistance. That's why we made some of these changes over the last year with it, to really progress it so you can go from, you know, as a beginner, you know, and T-ball and go right up through the big leagues with it. You know, it gets all age groups in there and it gets all types of pitches and things. So we really tried to put that much more effort into development of it in the last year. And really, the product now is just outstanding.
Well, it's like I mentioned to John earlier, you know, as a guy that cares and in hoping that the caring in this product and what it does for people really works, it would be amazing to me if we do see some big leaguers using it in the bullpen, because it, you know, that's all it would take for people to kind of say, you know what, maybe we should look into this. So hopefully with yourself, with John Smoltz endorsing it as well, and you know again, a guy like yourself who does, you know, so much about the, but you're in the business of getting pro athletes, keeping them on the field and getting them back on the field. And, you know, it's the guys like yourselves that we should be paying more attention to. So I really appreciate you being with us today. And I'll be following you and keeping up on what you guys are doing. And I can't thank you enough for everything you've done for youth baseball.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for helping getting the word out.
Thank you. That was Chris Verna from the Chris Verna Training Institute, or Chris Verna Training Center. Just a fantastic guy. And like I said, if you ever if you want to Google him at all, Chris Verna, V-E-R-N-A, you'll see some great stuff. If you go to the perfectpitchandthrow.com a website, you can get on there and you can click over in the news and events for latest scoop. You guys will see the actual stuff from the convention. It was really, really good. And I think if you pay attention to kind of what's going on out there with guys like Chris that have found a way to correlate the body and the body's movements with what's going on with some of these issues that we're having, I think it'll enlighten you a little bit and help us all as we try to find that connection in what we're trying to do. But special thanks to all these guys for being on today and what they've done for youth baseball. That was Chris Verna. And, you know, again, some of the stuff that these guys are aware of and the way the body works just amazes me. And, you know, sometimes I think all of us can feel like it's a little over our head and, you know, and that's fine. But I think too many times we want to say, oh, they're just kids and that's a little bit. No, it starts somewhere. And I do say it all the time. So because they're kids or because they may not play in the major leagues, let's just do it all half-crocked and not care and not do it right. I think that's crazy. So for me, you know, I'm going to listen to what these guys have to say. And I do appreciate them, and I do appreciate the fact that I've gotten to know people like that through doing this, and it has made a difference for me. What it'll mean to my own kids and the kids that play for me, I have no idea. I guess I'll see over time, just like you will. But I do say that it's our responsibility as coaches, our responsibility as parents, to always be trying to find out how we help, trying to find out how we apply these things to the life lessons in baseball. And of course, when it comes to their health, that we're doing what we can. And I don't think, again, that there's any perfect solution or perfect answer. But for me, the perfect pitch and throw sounds like a good place to start, because the thing that they talked about the most, if you listen to part one with Earl Perrin, and if you haven't, you know, if you're just catching part two of this, go back and listen to part one. And if you listen to John and if you listen to Chris, the key word that they all used were the stress throws. Nobody keeps track of the bullpen throws. Nobody keeps track of all this stuff. This is an opportunity to take away those stress throws, but also get loose and fundamentally do it correctly. So I think there's something to this. And again, I'm very excited about checking it out. They obviously are very passionate about it. And if John Smoltz is going to put his name on it and if he's going to endorse it, I think it's time to do some research. So I do appreciate all those guys. It was tremendous. It was an honor for me, obviously, not just to talk to John, but I do believe Earl is a tremendous human being. And I couldn't be happier for him and the success that they're having with the rope trainer. So I feel privileged to call him a friend now. And I look forward to checking in with him from time to time. And of course, if I can ever get John back on, I'd love to hear a little bit more about maybe what it was like when he was a kid. So, you know, I'm going to put a little bug in their ear and see if we can't get John back on sometime to talk about baseball when he was young. So let's take it on over to break now. Let's hear from a couple of our sponsors. And when we get back, we'll head on over and hear from our great instructors, Rick Strickland and Justin Stone. This is Jim Cromer with Youth Baseball Talk. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Hi, this is Jim Cromer, host of Youth Baseball Talk. When I'm not doing my show, I'm very busy coaching my son's baseball team. We head south every year to enjoy their awesome facilities with grass infields that their region provides. Now we can stay home and enjoy that same experience thanks to the new Gateway Dream Fields located in historic St. Charles, Missouri. Gateway Dream Fields were built to provide the St. Louis area and Midwest region with an opportunity to play on some of the finest fields in the country. You will find Bermuda grass infields, age-appropriate field sizes and outfield walls, along with a spectacular two-tier fan observation area on the main fields. To learn more about this awesome facility and the great tournaments that they provide,
simply go to gatewaydreamfields.com. That's gatewaydreamfields.com, or call 314-409-0530. If you're looking for that old-fashioned baseball feel, then look no further than Gateway Dream Fields. They were built just for you.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Welcome back to Youth Baseball Talk. I hope you enjoyed our short break there and some of the advertisements from some of the people that helped make the show go. If you do have a prep athlete, and it's not just baseball, I'd give Mark a call. I know a few people have been reaching out to him, and I had asked for people to let me know, because Mark did a special edition with us, and he had some pretty bold statements about, you know, who he was, what he was going to do, and I had everybody that has contacted me say he is a man of his word. I mean, there's been a couple of times he said, listen, you don't need me. I can give you, and he gave him advice. Here's what I would do. So he is a man of his word. So definitely check him out over at Perfect Placement. And of course, Gateway Dream Fields, we're getting ready to play our first tournament there in 2 weeks. I can't wait. And I know some people played over there this last weekend. It was a snowball tournament, and it wound up snowing on Sunday. So of course, that's that Midwest feel you get, but thanks to them as well. As we come back here to the second part of the break, I told you guys I was going to tease another show on the Lineup Media Group. You know, it is not football season, but the thing about the NFL is it seems to always be in the media. I'm getting as much football alerts on my phone from ESPN as I'm getting for baseball, which kind of upsets me because I'm a baseball guy. But with the draft and free agent signings and some of the things that go on, I know it's a big deal and it's a year-round sport, it seems like, anymore. So give On the Clock a look. It's a really great show from some regular guys, just kind of like we do it here. You know, they travel into the world of two hardcore fans. It's called You're on the Clock. It's a podcast about football and about a fan's perspective. They're very knowledgeable and informative. Matt Geiger brings his writing background and a bagel-making co-host, and I are Mike, and they give you an honest look into the NFL. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are now on the clock. Check them out at www.ontheclockpodcast.com. On Facebook, you can find them at facebook.com/youreontheclock. And, of course, follow them on Twitter at youreontheclock. It's a great show, and if you're an NFL fan, I think you'll enjoy it. And they also like the interaction, and especially when it comes to how passionate NFL fans are, I think you'll enjoy it and the interaction. So, of course, I want to remind everybody to check out RipkinBaseball.com. They've got the three great facilities now with the new one in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I'm hoping by next week to have the audio of the team that won the free trip. They are working on it. They've had some issues with some school ball, and they haven't been able to have all their kids, and they want to have a general real feeling of the kids finding out. So I applaud them for doing that, and of course we want to show much love and respect to the people at Ripken Baseball that donated that $5,000 value. And of course we're going to hear from them after they go on the trip, so that you all, if you're wondering and you're kind of curious and you don't know what to do, we're going to hear from them after they make the trip. I'm actually trying to find a way to talk to them while they're there, maybe Skype them in, make a little video. I think it'd be a great way for kids and parents and coaches to see exactly what that experience is all about. You know, sometimes when you hear it from a host like myself, you think, well, of course, I mean, he works with them, he's going to tell them. But I'm telling you, my team went. I could bring any kid in here and they'll tell you it's something they're going to remember their whole life. They're not going to remember the wins and losses. They're going to remember the times they spent both with family and their friends, especially playing at an unbelievable facility, hearing from some great instructors, and just, you know, just the memories that go along with it. For us, we went to Myrtle Beach. You know, they're going to remember that they spent a week playing baseball. When they got done, they went and hung out with their friends on the beach. So, again, that's just kind of one of the memory things that we wanted to give them, and it was our way to do it. So, special thanks, as always, to Ripken Baseball. Make sure you're doing it the Ripken way. Another guy that does it with quality, does it with has an unbelievable amount of insight that he's willing to share with us through his elitebaseball.tv is Justin Stone, and I'm happy to bring him to you here every week. And of course, he comes to you from the Majestic Coach's Corner. This is Justin Stone with elitebaseball.tv. Justin, take it away.
This is Justin Stone from elitebaseball.tv, also coming to you from the Majestic Coach's Corner. And today we're going to talk about a self-evaluation plan as hitters start their season. I get feedback from players, coaches, parents all the time at the beginning of the year, and they say, my son, my daughter is not hitting well. And that can mean a whole lot of different things. So what I've made up here is a 5-step self-evaluation checklist. And really we're going from the very most important topics down to the least important ones in terms of what makes up a successful hitter. So the 5 pieces are the same 5 things that we've talked about before on the blog and the podcast about what makes up a good hitter. Timing, pitch recognition, pitch selection, approach, and mechanics. So in each one of those areas, I'm going to talk briefly about how we can self-evaluate and really pinpoint what's holding a hitter back from having their best chance at the plate and their most success. Number 1 is timing. When I get out of that at bat, I need to go back to the dugout and ask myself, was I on time or did I feel rushed at some point? Was I early in the process? And that's usually a fairly rare one. So if a hitter automatically realizes, yeah, I'm fouling off balls late, or I feel like the load process is being rushed, we need to start sooner. Next one, pitch recognition. Am I seeing the ball early out of the pitcher's hand? The earlier we can pick up spin rotation, the easier it is to make adjustments to off-speed pitches or pitches that have some sort of break on them. So next, pitch selection. Am I staying within my zone? And this goes along with approach quite a bit. These are married. So when I think of pitch selection, I'm also thinking of how that relates to different counts. I know what my strengths are as a hitter. I'm trying to maximize those strengths as a hitter early in the count, so I stay away from my weaknesses. If I can get a pitcher to make me chase his pitch, already we're getting ourselves out. So pitch selection is a big part of that. Approach. An approach means, am I staying within my hitting plan from count to count? Early and up in the count is going to change what I'm doing from being in a neutral or down in the count situation. Our zone tends to grow as we get down in the count. But still, I don't have to give in to a pitcher's pitch until I get 2 strikes on me. So as I'm evaluating this, if I'm giving in to a pitcher's pitch earlier in the count, I know again, I put myself in a negative situation where I'm potentially getting myself out. And mechanics. Although we spend a lot of time in the offseason talking about mechanics, working on our swing in the cage, in reality, mechanics is the least important part to what makes up a very good hitter. But there are sticking points in everybody's swing. And there are things that cause holes in people's swings that usually relate to the load stride process and what the body looks like at the foot down position. So we call this the setup. So are there issues with my body getting to that setup? Is my tempo too fast? Goes back to being rushed again early on in the load stride process. Is there some issue about me not using my strength from the ground? Am I firing from the top? Those are things that you should be able to go back to the dugout, evaluate, and feel. And then we can go through that process again in the on-deck circle where we're picking up release point timing, but also working on that mechanical cue. So I step into the batter's box and my body is ready to perform the test. So in each one of those 5 areas, we can do a very short checklist to identify and pinpoint what is causing the hitter trouble that's making it so they don't have the most success that they'd like to in the batter's box during a game. Now you can take that information and use it yourself, relay it to your coach or your private instructor, and you can really attack the deficiency in the game. I'm Justin Stone from elitebaseball.tv coming to you from the Majestic Coach's Corner. We'll see you next week on the field.
Great stuff as always from our good friend Justin Stone, and that is elitebaseball.tv. Check it out. That the subscription to have access to that type of stuff. I want to say, and don't kill me, don't kill the messenger if I'm wrong, unless something's changed, it's $97 for 1 year, and you have access to all of his videos, all of his instruction. I've spent $97 on worse things. So really good stuff from Justin, as always. And of course, I want to get it over now to my good friend and local instructor. And make sure you guys are checking out Rick Strickland. He is a fantastic instructor. We're very happy to and very lucky to have him right here in our own backyard. So let's take it on over for the Sandlot Recruitment Tip of the Week, brought to you by Rick Strickland and the St. Louis Pirates. Rick, take it away.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show again this week. This week, I'm going to change hats a little bit. A lot we've been talking about recruitment and just team stuff like that, but really kind of want to get into where I see baseball's going. I think baseball on the training side has been behind some of the other players in sports like golf and those things when it comes to technology. But that's about to change. It has been changing as you see new data, StatCast, those type of metrics now being thrown at the general consumer when you watch an MLB game. Well, behind the scenes, they're recording data on how the body moves and how the bat's moving. You see the introduction of apps like Zep and Blast Motion and Swing Tracker trying to track what the bat's doing. There's new products coming to the market, radar guns with spin rates and things of that nature, all those things that are important for that. From the amateur side, many of those technologies won't be readily available, or they are available, but people just simply don't know what to do. We take pride in the fact over here that we use those technologies now, probably even before they even gotten to the big league level, in trying to analyze and come up with training protocols for the people that we work with. Today, really quickly, I wanted to talk about one particular thing that we've been talking about in our studies and in what we're finding with some of the swing stuff that we're using. You know, a lot of times in how we were taught to hit, we were taught to be short to the ball and quick to the ball. Well, that's true. One can swing that way. However, having the shortest possible swing may entail that you swing down on the ball, which means that those who swing down the ball need to be on time. Timing is really, really critical with them because they have to have the bat arrive at the precise point of where the ball is falling to, because the ball does fall. However, what we're seeing from some of the data is that some of the better hitters tend to have a longer swing, and I don't mean radius long, like away from your body, but longer in the standpoint that the barrel actually gets away from them deeper into the zone. And that's how we're using technology. We're going to announce a new technology partner here that we're doing some research and development with on the baseball swing in the coming days. So stay tuned to that. But that's one of the tips, and I'll be bringing those tips to you on a weekly basis on some of the things that we're finding out in the swing lab, or the swing, Rick Strickland swing rehab lab is what we call it now. So stay tuned. But again, Jim, thanks for having me on the show. If you have any questions about or concerns or things that we're researching, give us a shout out on our website at sandlotelite.com, at sandlotelite.com. Look forward to speaking to you next week.
As always, good stuff from my main man, Rick Strickland, over at the St. Louis Pirates and his Sandlot Recruiting Tip of the Week. So real great episode, I felt like. Again, anytime you get the opportunity to hear from a Hall of Famer, you know, I want to hear what they got to say. And again, we talked about it occasionally. You know, some guys, you know, want to do it their way, or, you know, but when a guy like John Smoltz has taken the time with a Chris Verna and gets involved with a guy like Earl Perrin that has a vision and a dream to try to fix this problem, and puts his two cents in and says, I do think that this could have helped me, and here is why. And I think we got to listen. Again, you know, played at a high level, threw hard, unbelievable athlete, you know, and again, very passionate, wants to share, wants to help. I say we listen. At the very minimum, I say we do our research and we do our homework and we see what's going on. So, again, it was a highlight for me to interview a Hall of Famer and to hear from Hall of Fame guys in my book, and Earl Perrin and Chris Verna as well. Two great gentlemen that are really trying to help our kids. So I hope you check them out. Pitch and Throw, for sure, the Rope Trainer. That'll do it for us. Again, thanks to Brian, producer Brian. He does a great job for me in putting all this together and Special thanks, of course, to the Lineup Media Group as they allow us to stay on the airwaves and keep moving. But most of all, special thanks to all of you as you turn in each and every week. And you guys are obviously sharing the show and you're passionate about it as our numbers continue to grow. And couldn't make me prouder of what we're doing here. And I know that we're at least helping, because you guys wouldn't be listening if you weren't enjoying it. So from everybody here at the Lineup Media Group, I am your host, Jim Cromer. We are Youth Baseball Talk, and we will see you next week.
Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball U, the nation's youth baseball network. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you listen to the show. You can find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter at @podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of the LMG Network's podcasts at lineupmediagroup.com.